Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies and TV shows out now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Jordana.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen. What's up, guys? How are you? What's going on?
Well, we could talk about what's going on, but...
What's going on with you?
Oh, nothing. Do you want to... What's going on with you? Or do you want to go straight to our conversation about ChatGPT?
What's going on with you, Jordana?
What's going on with me is that Mike told me about ChatGPT, which I don't know if that's been around. Aileen, you said you've been reading about it for a bit.
It's been around for like 5 years, right?
I don't know. I don't know about 5 years.
5 years. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we started hearing about it like 5 years ago.
She doesn't care. Well, she won't care if we're fucking with her about that.
I mean, yeah, whatever.
Even if he knew about it for 30 days, she'll think it's the same thing.
Anyway, Mike mentioned it to me this week, and he was very surprised that I didn't know about it. So then he showed it to me, and I'm using it, and I think it's great.
What are you using?
Why is there like a controversy around it? Because
Google's really freaking out.
I think it's not like controversial as much as people are like worried. It could be a huge step in AI replacing like a lot of things, a lot of jobs. Google, I would say, is probably the biggest concern because I think it is sort of like a higher level Google where instead of like you searching for your answer, it kind of gives you the full answer rather than giving you the resources to find your answer.
Right. And so it's not giving you like sites and then you have to like search and research the answer. It's sort of just the answer right there.
Well, it's also, like Ask Jeeves.
Or it's like a new smart, it's like a better, smarter child.
If smarter child could like pass a medical exam,
right, but isn't that great? No. That seems great.
It could.
And for more information,
it get like a B plus on like a business school final?
Like a Harvard MBA final, I think. Yeah, no, it's passing like all these exams. I mean, my question is like, what does that say about the exams? Is it like, does it not require that much human nuanced thinking? Because like, if you think about like, let's say...
You guys haven't used it, right? Should we ask it a question? I just pulled it up.
Yeah.
You thought there was a wait list.
Yeah, I have a question. I have a question.
Yeah, what's a question?
What is the meaning of life?
I mean...
Oh, that's a good one.
Let's not bully the ChatGPT
It doesn't have feelings.
Okay, I'll try it.
Is it ChatGPT or B?
I don't know.
It's ChatGPT.
P. What does it stand for?
What is the meaning of life? Let's see.
Do you have to type it or can you speak to it?
I typed it.
Okay, what does it say?
It's loading.
She doesn't know.
It's about to short circuit.
The meaning of life is a philosophical question that has been debated by scholars and thinkers for centuries. There's no single answer that is universally accepted, as the meaning of life can be different for each individual depending on their beliefs, values, and experiences. Some people believe that the purpose of life is to seek happiness. Others believe it is to find spirituality or inner peace. And still others believe that it is simply to live in the moment and enjoy the journey. Ultimately, the meaning of life is a personal and subjective concept that is open to interpretation.
I mean, that was the most comprehensive answer you could have asked for.
Okay, that's a good answer about the phrase meaning of life, but that does not convey...
I mean, why would you expect an AI thing to know that?
No, I'm just saying the way I'm saying... I'm trying... Okay, the thing is that it can answer like very nuanced questions, but it can't... It can come up with an answer, but it can't
It's not like having a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like a conversation.
But it's not supposed to be a conversation.
Yeah. It's just supposed to give you like.
But this is the thing is that it's just the first step. Like this ChatGPT is going to be put into robots from the Boston Dynamics Lab or whatever it's called. And you ever see. And they can like literally like. They're robots that can like move like humans.
Maybe they'll replace teachers.
It's literally going to be like Centennial Man or Millennial Man. What's his name?
Bicentennial. You know,
I mean, who needs to have a consult with a doctor if you could just text this thing?
ChatGPT,
give me a pap smear.
No, here's the thing.
No, it can't do that, but it can tell you like, what is a pap smear gonna? What? Why do I need a pap smear?
But you can Google that.
But you can still Google any of this stuff.
I think the best thing for this is that like you could, in theory, replace some levels of doctors, but. You also need like the actual person who's a doctor who's seen patients and like can see a human like result. I think it's honestly like kind of like spell check or like a calculator.
Right now.
Where you need
It's AI. Right, no. It's not like, it's AI, meaning it's self-learning and it just continues to, and with the more and more people ask questions, the more it learns and the more it changes and the more it becomes like a human brain. Like that's the scarier thing.
Oh yeah, it's probably going to destroy us in a while. I'm talking about
but
now.
It's going to replace, it's definitely going to replace a lot of customer service jobs. Like think of how annoying the like automated like questions are now. It's going to definitely replace that. Well, so
I mean, what if you can't ever speak to a person?
It's wild how movies predict everything.
When is the
because it's not that hard to like write an imagination. It's way hard. It's not that hard to imagine this. It's much harder to make this.
Remember, you know, Minority Report.
Yeah, you love that movie.
How good is that movie?
You love that movie. You talk about it 6 times a year
because it really messed with me. Like the eye scanning, like that happens. That's what they do on your iPhone.
I feel like if there was like a diagram of your brain, like Minority Report would be a full corner.
Guys, I found something that ChatGPT cannot answer.
Oh, what? What?
I said, when does the new season of Real Housewives of New Jersey start?
See, it's.
I asked. I mean, you would think an easier question.
Why don't they know?
The meaning of
no
life.
One's asked.
I'm sorry, I don't have that information. As my training data only goes up until 2021, and I cannot provide real time information about future events. However, you can check the official website of the show or relevant TV networks for the most up to date information for the start date of the
Google
next season
it.
Of the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Hold on. What do you mean up to 2021? That's a full year ago.
That's what it says.
There's a whole year between that and
right.
And now.
Obviously, it's. Like
they're not updated.
They need that $10 billion from Microsoft to get the 2022 data in.
Historical data is hard.
It's so weird that it knew that, but not
because it doesn't. It people have really Googled tell you about
the meaning
of life either
before 2020.
Well, I think that's an obvious question to ask it because it's like sort of the most subjective thing you could ask. It's also like it didn't really give an answer. It just gave like an answer about it. What is the meaning of life?
It depends what your belief system is.
But if it gave an answer, that would be wrong because that would be like whatever.
It's subjective. It's meant to be objective.
Yeah. There is no like real one
is
answer.
Anything
which is what
they said.
It's just what they said.
Right. The chat.
I think it's cool. I love technology that people are afraid of. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand what people are like worried about personally.
I mean,
watch some Terminator movies.
What are people worried about with AI specifically or like anything?
I don't know. This specifically, I guess. I mean, I guess
new
I understand.
Technology has never destroyed
like
anything.
The robots turning on us, I guess, potentially.
Oh, just that.
here's the thing, because people who actually know about it are afraid of that stuff.
It's not really what like the problem is now is like what it can do in the future. And also the people who know AI know how far it goes, Moana. But some people are saying that like it could affect academic fraud.
Right, because students are like submitting things.
Yeah, and like job replacement.
I heard a really interesting point about the academic fraud piece. I think, I can't remember what I was listening to. Maybe it was offline, that it's bad for like, let's say like, it can replicate like a B student.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's bad because like someone who's a B student is never going to get like better because they can just like have their work done.
Yeah.
But it's not going to replicate like a really thoughtful, well-written A-plus student because that person is able to like use words and nuances and phrases and like an understanding. Well, at least I'm talking about now. An understanding that like a computer that just compiles a lot of like trends and data and aggregates it can't do. So I think that like it probably will replace – maybe it will even help.
I mean,
academia,
the job replacement thing seems like
a good thing.
Well, yeah, that's what they say about all technology. That's what the tractor did. Like,
right. You know
what
I mean?
No, but it doesn't. Yeah. It's not good for humanity. Like, we have more and more people.
There's less jobs.
But there's new jobs. You can find different jobs.
There's people
who used to be cab drivers are now Uber drivers. Like,
that's
there's
not
new
a
jobs.
Technology.
I don't think that's an advancement people are proud of.
What?
That's... It's not an advancement
that people are proud of. I think
the way drivers are, the way the workers for Uber are.
Well, that's in a transitionary
self-driving
period.
Cars are more of a threat to taxi drivers, not Uber.
Right, but I'm saying when you get rid of some jobs, you create new jobs.
What are the taxi drivers going to become if all cars are self-driving? Well, a la Minority Report.
Well, that's why you really need like
a new job that might not
social,
even be invented yet.
Right. That's why you need a strong social infrastructure to subsidize job retraining for people
who
technology
podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so we'll see. Job retraining for people who ChatGPT. I don't think it's going to be creative jobs that are going to be like knocked out. I think it's going to be like
we're safe.
I know. I think it's going to be
everyone
like
in this room.
Welcome to the ChatGPT podcast.
Right, like Right.
It's really
exactly.
hard to say. It's like a fucking mouthful.
Like maybe someone, maybe a ChatGPT can tell us a description of what happened. But
you know what I would love?
They can't like write a funny ass article about it.
I would love a robot who can cook for me.
That probably will exist.
Like a ChatGPT robot.
A cook GPT.
Who's like a chef.
An air fryer.
Chef GPT.
Chef GPT. That's what I want for my life.
You know, I'll give you a good recipe.
No, that the point that's, is I don't want to cook.
What, but also, you know what that could do? It could solve world hunger.
Yeah.
If there was a cook GPT.
You need the resources. Yeah. But yeah.
Fucking grow them from the people who don't have cab driver jobs anymore.
What a time to be alive. I'm going to keep this open in case we get more facts wrong. And then I can ask chat
as we do.
Yeah.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
We've all been there, trying to fit everything we might need for a trip, only to end up with a suitcase bursting at the seams. But with Bass, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip? No problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes? Bring them all with Bass. I love my Bass. I bring it literally everywhere I could possibly need a carry-on bag. And that's because, like I just said, they have thought of everything. I love that my bag expands. And so when I overpack, as I literally do every single time, I don't have to sit on my suitcase anymore to try to squeeze it shut. I can just use the extender. Honestly, makes my life so much easier. It's one less thing to worry about, having to contemplate, do I need to bring this? Do I not need to bring it? I can just bring it and have the peace of mind that I have it. And my Bass allows me to do that. So it really just eases my whole peace of mind when traveling. Bass has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Bass has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Bass has your personal items covered. Right now, Bass is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/betches. Go to basetravel.com/betches for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/betches.
What should we talk about? We've got topics such as Tom Brady finally retired on a video on Instagram yesterday, and all I could notice is his cheekbones.
Me too. Did you get buckle fat removal, yeah, Tom?
I just couldn't stop staring at how like
chiseled,
lifeless this man was.
Yeah, he's
and
a bit
sad.
Of a robot.
It was really sad because he was like, "You only get one."
It's also so sad that he retired. I'm so sick of him. So
yeah, I feel like he's been retiring for like a decade. Like I'm over
it. But you know what's so sad is that he unretired, lost his marriage. And then just retired again, like a year later.
But the video itself was like, I don't understand. You only get one teary-eyed retiring message, but so I'm going to just talk to you guys. And then he was like hysterically crying by the time he shut off his video. And then Giselle commented being like, good luck with your new like life chapter.
Could she have texted him?
Yeah, like, so it's just, Life is weird.
Here's the thing. It's like he wanted to set, he has the most Super Bowl rings. Now he wants the most Tier Retirement video records.
Well, now he got some like contract with, what is it, sports announcing, and it's just as much money.
He's gonna be so jealous.
No, it's just as much money.
I don't think it was about the money. I think he loves to play.
But
yeah, I think he loves the game.
Yeah, no, I think he should not be a sports announcer, because like one day he's gonna go fucking nuts and he's just gonna be like, give me the ball, I'm gonna do it myself.
he wants it too bad.
He wants it too bad.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard not to like all of a sudden I'm not the best anymore.
I think it was weird.
You were the best.
I think
he
should have stayed retired the last time. He's the Bethany Frankel of the NFL.
Go out on top. Like
Speaking
Nancy Pelosi.
Of Bethany Frankel, do you guys follow her on Instagram?
I follow her on TikTok.
I like know about her on
Equally
Instagram.
As annoying. Don't you, are you not, I'm like every time she's on my screen
she's
and she has an opinion, I'm just like, stop it. Just stop. I'm like, I can't. I just can't deal with it. I'm one post away from unfollowing.
Okay, I think that she's very self-aggrandizing. She always thinks she's right. But sometimes she does make good points. I kind of agree.
So rarely.
She has so many hot takes. She has a few hits here and there.
But
I do
the
agree.
Thing is like, you can't have a hot take about everything.
Right.
She's just like, you guys have to try this soup recipe. And it's literally just broth. And I'm like,
that's why I don't follow her that closely, because like too many strong opinions.
So many strong opinions about
everything.
And I get that, because we also have that. But
it's like
just very extreme. Like, you guys, you don't even know. I just created the best dip and it's fucking guacamole. Like I just,
yeah,
it's all the same. You guys, I came up, you gotta get the Chanel bra. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. Unfollow. And then I can hear her being like, just unfollow me. And I cannot.
Yeah, I don't watch any of that stuff. I just watch her like rants about like some housewives stuff, the Harry and Meghan stuff. She's very into that. I enjoy like watching her. I don't follow any of her cooking shit. She doesn't look like someone who enjoys food. I'm not like.
That's why she's having broth and guacamole and calling it like a Michelin star meal.
The food thing is like so far from any reason that any of her content that I'm looking at.
She was a chef.
I know, but I don't care. Like, that's not why I care about her.
But I just mean she was a chef, and it's just ridiculous. Like, some of her recipes, I'm like, it's like when I do this dumb recipes, like it's just literally I chop some shit that's already prepared and I put it in the oven and I'm like, voila, this is gourmet.
Because honestly, I think this is really a symptom of just the existence of social media. It's like there's this instinct to be like, and everybody, guess what?
Yeah,
I made soup.
This is the best meal I've ever had.
Right.
Chris Burns, Fat Carrie Bradshaw, has the funniest spoof on her take about, it was like about the Real Housewives contracts or something, or like it was like her thoughts on housewives who like ask for too much money. And he did like the funniest parody video where he's like impersonating her. And I was dying. It was like the funniest. I still
really
think about
funny.
It. It was one of the funniest things I've seen in 2022.
I don't
chat
mind.
But ChatGPT wouldn't know about it.
I wouldn't
it was in 2022.
Mind yes. so much. Like, I liked when she started doing her beauty influencing thing, because it was
that
like,
made sense.
And it goes with like the, also this whole de-influencing thing that's trending right now. But I like that she's basically saying these are the things you do not need to have. But she's going to eventually run out of content. So now she's, and she has. So she's just really pressing harder across all verticals of content. And I'm just like, all right, lady, just put your phone down for a day.
It's almost like, do you realize that the phone will be here tomorrow?
And then now
you
she has that show.
Else.
Now she has that show, which
What's
is to rewatch old episodes of Housewives.
Which was weird. That was a weird move. She talks like, so much shit about.
And that's
how
she
doesn't want to talk about.
And she was
them.
Like, "Yeah, well, I don't fucking care. I'm doing it anyway." So her last episode was I didn't listen, but I saw it on Instagram because she obviously posted it. She's like, "You guys have to hear this conversation." And it's just like with Snooki. her whole pitch was like talking to really interesting people who are not in the Housewives universe about what happens in the Housewives. And I'm just like, "Why?"
It's probably hard to get guests.
It's like, no.
You have to get actual Housewives as guests. I think they all hate her, obviously.
I think they probably, it seems like it. That's
I don't think
vibe,
she has any.
Except for Kyle Richards.
Are they friends?
Yeah,
no,
they're
but
friends.
She does also suck up to Kyle Richards on Instagram. And it's like so weird.
I thought
weird.
Kyle sucks up to her.
No.
Or maybe that's how it used to be.
It's the other way around.
Switched. Okay. Should we talk about de-influencing now that we're talking about that?
I just went on a
Bethany
Frankel
rant. Can you explain what de-influencing is?
Okay. So do you hear about this girl, Michaela?
Yeah. She has like that Boston accent that's real or fake.
I don't know.
Real.
Okay. So
what is, can you give a rundown?
Did you happen to see our Slack channel where people were talking about her? This made me like crack up hysterically. Somebody was like, wait, like, am I really behind on like who Michaela is? And Dylan's like, protect your peace.
What does that mean?
Meaning like you don't need.
Meaning you don't need to know.
Just don't look into it. Just trust me. It's not worth.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay, so this is how it started.
That's how I feel about Bethany Frankel content. Yeah.
But this girl Michaela has been Michaela Noguera, is that how you pronounce it? She has 14 million followers on TikTok. She has been. I've been hearing about her for at least the past week. Last week we came to the office and Nicole Pellegrino was talking about Michaela and I was like, yes. I'm going to protect my peace on this one. I don't want to know.
But what about her though?
Okay. So what happened is she did an ad for mascara for L'Oreal Telescopic Lift Mascara.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored, but this is in the story. Basically, she started like she was doing this sponsored ad and she puts it on like one lash and then she clearly like cuts the camera and she – it very much looks like she put like fake lashes on or like had done something.
Okay.
Everyone calls her out for it, for like lying in this ad. And now everyone's been talking about it. She like denied that she lied about it. She deleted comments. And then like other beauty influencers have been calling her out. And then some people have been defending her.
Saying that, and it's like a false ad. Did she say that it was sponsored?
It was an ad. Yeah. Okay. But the fact was that she was faking her eyelashes like in the ad for mascara.
Okay.
But saying that it was because of a mascara.
Don't commercials do that all the time, though?
Most people don't notice, I suppose.
It's like that time when they taught us.
They saw her. Like, it's that the way she cut the camera, it just made it fairly obvious that she had, like,
she just did a bad job at hiding it.
Do you remember in school they showed us that video of, like, how McDonald's, like, makes their, like, burgers for the TV and it's all, like, fake?
Yeah.
Like, that they, like,
there's, like, spray.
Taste, like, it's not real food and how they, like, prop it up. That's also another corner of my brain, by the way. That Minority Report. But, like, sort of kind of the same thing. But the point, I think, is that, yeah, there is false advertising, but you don't really expect it from influencers because they're supposed to be, like, real.
They're a person and you're supposed to trust them.
Also, yeah. When they're like,
trustworthy.
But, you also don't expect it to be so obvious within the ad itself that, like, they would make it so clear.
It makes you feel like we're... Oh, I thought there was a line, and I guess there isn't. And so that's what inspired this de-influencing trend.
Yeah, she had also had a scandal earlier in... a few months ago when a video resurfaced from her in 2021 that ChatGPT knows about, because she admitted that being an influencer was harder than people think. And then that caused backlash because people hate when influencers complain about how it's hard, you know. But yeah, to your point about the...
Everything is harder than people think.
Right. I'm not saying like influencers like the hardest job in the world, but it's not as easy as I think some people... believe it is.
Yeah. I think that there's no one who's like, my job is actually much easier than people think it is. Actually, except I once saw someone who was some actor who was doing a voice for an animated movie. And he was like, this is the easiest money that you could ever make. It's extremely easy and you get paid millions of dollars to just do the voice.
Yeah.
Like in the thing.
But here's the thing. Becoming famous enough to do that probably wasn't easy.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, extra dark brews, sours, hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to Nuuly.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
What is the de-influencing trend?
Okay, so this kicked off this sort of trend on TikTok more widely that I guess kind of aligns with like sustainability and like not wanting to buy crap, which is like telling people what not to buy, like popular products that like actually aren't good, mm-hmm. and trying to encourage people to like not consume if they don't need to and only consume things that are really worth it.
Not to buy. I like
fewer,
that.
Better products, yeah. Yeah. You could like say. Okay. You know, so that is now kind of the thing. It's like, don't tell people what to buy. If you do tell people what to buy, you're now like consumerist and wasteful and probably lying about how much you like it.
I think we should all go around and say one thing that you don't, that you shouldn't buy.
Okay. Let me think.
That's a waste of money.
Shit. It's the last thing I bought. You know what you should buy? A rice cooker.
Those are the best.
I just bought one.
The rice is so much better when you use a rice cooker.
Oh my God, it's so easy.
Yeah. I feel like there's you always make too much rice.
No, you make one you can bowl do one cup. And it lasts for
a few days. We have a rice cooker and Mike always makes, he thinks he's making an appropriate amount of rice and then it's so
you
much
just
rice.
Do one you serving. Just one cup. And you don't need to eat it all at once.
Yeah. He does it wrong.
I'm trying to think what's a bad purchase.
Too much rice.
You know what? I bought that Augustus whatever.
Bader. Augustinus Bader.
Yeah, I bought that because it was like everywhere and it's so expensive. And I was like, it's so expensive and it's everywhere. It must be great.
Oh.
I bought that at the end of last year and I used the whole thing. I had two of them. I got the rich cream and the regular cream. And I was like, this is not really better than a much cheaper moisturizer than
there's
I've used.
So many things like that. Oh, I have one. I had my friend had like a really big discount to La Mer or something, and so I just like it was like 50% off. I was like, I can't miss this one. So I got the normal one, and I can't even get through it. It's so like hard to apply, and it's just not. I don't really get it.
Okay, so there's a lot of that in skincare, I think.
Like, skincare. Like
overpriced, overhyped, it's all branding and marketing.
What I'm looking at now, where you see a lot of these Instagram ads that know how to get you, and I always get got. So I like now read the comments and really intensely and look out for the ones that are like fake and real. And like there's this one, Bobbi Brown, is all over my Instagram. It's like this like really rich but jelly cream. I'm like, wow, I need that. And then I like read it and everyone's like, this is glorified Vaseline. I've tried it and it sucks. And I'm like, okay, that's all I needed to hear. Next.
Right.
It's like it has a hook on you for like a second, but that hook gets released as soon as one person says it sucks.
In one bad way.
I was going to say the La Mer thing. I bought that during the pandemic because I was like, oh, we're doing skincare. Okay, here's the thing with La Mer. I know what you're talking about, why it's so thick. The reason is because you're supposed to like rub it between your hands like this, like for like 30 seconds before you put it on your face. And then it gets really thin and it goes on so nicely. But to your point, I don't think
Why do I want to do that?
Because it's just how you activate the
molecular.
But here's the thing,
no one fucking tells you that.
Right.
You have to figure it out.
They do. I've seen like ads about that, and I still don't believe it.
An ad from La Mer? No, it feels really different when you get it. But here's the thing: I don't think that my skin got much better from La Mer.
You know what's great?
What
skincare? First Aid Ultra Beauty Repair Ultra Cream Repair. That. It's like very thin and whippy. It's great.
There should be rotten tomatoes for skincare products, like critic reviews and then audience reviews.
Yeah, like bot reviews, right. Real reviews,
like whatever. They're just like one score.
I feel like they have that in like Sephora or something, but I also don't trust Sephora ads
because
all the brands are paid.
They also pay for placements in the store. mean, that's how every industry works.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Rotten Tomatoes, I think, is great because it's like you get like, because Mike cares more about the audience score and I care more about the critic score. And so we get to look at both and then decide. Yeah.
It's genius. Rotten Tomatoes, they really.
Do you care more about audience or critic?
Both.
Recently, I've been reading the reviews by critics and audience instead of looking at the score. Okay. Yeah, like to get a sense of like sometimes the audience.
They give away too much.
Sometimes the critic score is a little bit like I've just watched too many of these artsy movies and I'm like, all right, fucking, I don't care.
I agree. I tried to watch Tar.
I love Tar. I watched it like five times.
I was so bored. I turned it off.
Oh, it's long.
I was so bored.
Here's the thing. You have to get like, I actually. I know what you're saying because I, first of all, I loved that movie.
How far and do you have to get?
It's not about far
No, the end is not satisfying either.
You have
it's
to,
not good.
No, okay. If you have to lock in to Cate Blanchett's performance. And yeah, once you're like in, I'm you can't Blue stop Jasmine. Watching her.
She's I love Blue Jasmine. She's very good, but I don't even understand half the things she's saying.
That's the point. It's like you're. It's like you stop. What she's saying is like, I don't know, she falls into this role and I just couldn't stop watching her.
But I
honestly, like, the other night I couldn't find something to watch. I was like, I guess Tar's on Netflix. I'll just watch Tar again. And I was like, this will be good. Yeah. I'll be like, this would be good background noise. But then before I knew it, I couldn't be in the background because I couldn't stop watching her.
Yeah.
Because she's so good.
I was so excited bored. To see it, but I understand also
it is.
I wasn't obsessed.
There's also like a lot of like random references, and you're like, "What the fuck are they?"
That's
talking
what I'm saying.
About?
I don't know what she's talking. But she's having. I'm on like scene two, and she's having lunch with the guy, and she's talking about like.
And it goes on forever.
But I'm like,
she's
what's
talking
the,
about, and like, that she's talking.
Why don't I go back to school?
It's like they're trying to have you feel like you dropped into this world of like, and you're just kind of like watching them from the outside, like that she's talking about her bookings of these composers. And like, she's talking about going on tour. It's like if someone dropped in and was like talking about you and Jared having like pretentious conversations.
I think it'd be more entertaining.
It's almost like, it is like pretentious.
It's so pretentious.
Yeah, and it's like it's not like for the audience.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, who is this for? It's not for me. I don't get any of this.
And
I
loved it. It's almost just like so for Cate to act it. That's really what it was.
That's why it was great.
And
this person. It's so scary.
I know.
That's really why I couldn't stop watching because I'm like, I'm literally just watching a new person.
It was
she invented.
Yeah. I had to turn it off. I turned on Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Which got good.
Which was cute. That was very cute. Who's and Mrs. I'm like, Harris? I guess I'm lowbrow. I don't know.
No, I thought that good
I'm not
critic
like particularly highbrow.
But it was like really high.
It did do really well. It did. But I'm saying like, well, compared to Tar.
Yeah.
I had a better sense of what was going on.
Yeah.
Guys, you know I'm not like that highbrow. Like, I'm really not.
I mean, Tar is like a pretty pretentious highbrow.
I just like Cate Blanchett. But if it wasn't Cate Blanchett.
I just felt like it was Blue Jasmine sequel.
Which is unreal.
Blue Jasmine much more accessible.
It's almost as if like.
Blue Jasmine was like Bernie Madoff's story just retold.
Yeah. Is this based on a real person star thing?
No, it's made up.
Who wrote the script? This sounds like a movie that someone said, did you even read the books?
Yeah.
I don't think it was a book.
Other things that you would not recommend?
I'm trying to think. Like, I'm trying to picture everything I own.
A piece of clothing.
You know what? I have one.
What?
The Hunza G bathing suit.
Oh, I agree.
Okay.
I don't know what's that.
It's the, like, stretchy one that's one size and it's really stretchy.
It just makes your boobs just
like
a
crinkle
big...
it's like crinkly
yeah
but okay. That's not my complaint. It does look, it's not about how it looks, the looking is its own thing, but yes, it does
my
make your
boobs
look yeah my boobs look
it's just
like
big, like it looks just like mushed into my body.
Same, because it has no hold. But that's not my problem. My problem is that I bought a bathing suit from them and I wore it one time and the seam on like the crotch basically like didn't totally just like split, but it's like went halfway through. So it's like, you know when Chloe said that Kim's Skims were for like really small vaginas? Yeah. Now it's that. And
so vagina for
no, but you know what's annoying? Okay, you know what's annoying? Hunza G on their own website has like a 1-year warranty.
Oh.
But I bought it from Net-a-Porter.
Oh.
And I emailed them. It was under 1 year. And I was like, by the way, I bought this like, I bought this from you like, I don't remember, more than 6 months ago and less than a year. And I said like, Hunza G has a 1-year warranty. And can you like replace this for me? They email me back. Well, we only have a 6-month warranty. So like,
go
no.
fuck yourself.
And I was, I wanted to reply. I wanted to reply, like, but I just didn't care that much. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I want it to be like, I'm an amazing customer. Order shit from you every fucking day.
Yeah.
Give me my new bathing suit. Nice, but I sir. Didn't. I just let it go.
Aileen, I know Nordic Track is on your list.
Yeah, it's on my list, but we're on a pause right now. They haven't picked up the treadmill. Just don't tell anyone. So we're just waiting.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. You know what I watched last night, which I enjoyed? The Pamela Anderson documentary.
Yes, I also
everyone's
enjoyed
talking
that.
About that. Yes. I didn't watch it.
I also really enjoyed
it was good.
That.
Yeah.
It was really sweet. And like, yeah. She just seems so genuine.
Yeah, she seems like a nice, like non-manipulative person.
Yeah, I agree. And it made you just kind of feel bad.
I kind of felt like she should have watched Pam and Tommy. Not to tell her
it.
What to do.
I got so...
But... I finished it and I thought that show was much more sympathetic to her than it was to Tommy Lee, who seemed like a huge fucking asshole.
Yeah.
In that show, because it seems like he was. I mean, the whole thing is like, it's basically the story behind it. It was interesting to me that she was like, I have no idea who took the tape. It's like the show tells you
who took the tape.
Yeah, like, but if you Wikipedia it.
They imagine that, don't they? That's
no,
real.
No, it's real.
Who took the tape?
This guy, okay, so basically in the show, Pam and Tommy. It tells the story of the tape, and basically like they get married and then they move into this house and they're getting construction done on this house. And Seth Rogen plays like a contractor who is supposed to do work on their house. And he does like a really good job, but Tommy Lee is like sort of a lunatic and he's finding like the tiniest little flaws or having him redo everything because he changes his mind every second. So he's like this nightmare to work with, Tommy Lee. And
then they portray him that way.
So yeah. So in the show. I don't know what he's like in real life. In the show, they make him seem like this huge, like, conceited rock star asshole. And then he's finally like, I want you to redo it again. They're like, well, we can't redo it, like, again, because it doesn't make any sense to do it that way. And then he's like, all right, he fires them and he doesn't pay them for all the work that they've done. Mm-hmm. And so this contractor, again, played by Seth Rogen.
I gotta watch this.
Is like, his, like, revenge scheme then is to... get back at him. And he also like steals his tools. He like won't give him back his tools. And
Tommy
fires
Lee
him.
stole his
he
tools?
Like basically left them in the house and he wouldn't give them back to him. And this guy has no money and he didn't pay him for the job. So.
But we don't know if that's actually
this is,
true.
This
that's
is like, what's this is what's portrayed yeah, in the thing. And on, verified
Wikipedia
by Wikipedia.
Say?
That's not verified.
Whatever.
Anybody can
write
it
on Wikipedia. Anyway, this is what was said. And today. Again, Pam having absolutely nothing to do with this, besides being married to Tommy Lee. Not really, her not being, like, again, it's mostly about him being this asshole. And then, so the guy exacts his revenge by, like, because he's a contractor and he was in the house and he knows, like, the deal with the house is and how to get into the house. So he, like, breaks into the house, steals the entire safe, not knowing what was in it, and then discovers in the safe there's like not that much money, but there's this sex tape that they had made and sells it. And so, but then the show is basically showing that like in the show, the sex tape only does the great things for Tommy Lee's career because he's this rock star and he has a sex tape and that's cool. And she like is never taken seriously again. And she again seems like a very innocent victim in this thing. And it shows how the lawyers are like interrogating her and being really unfair to her and all the late night jokes about her. Like, I thought she seems like so upset about this show.
Are you talking about the show or are you talking about the...
I'm talking about the Pam and Tommy.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm talking about the fictionalized version that she keeps saying she was very upset about in articles that I've read. And in this documentary, she says that she was like really upset that they did the show. And I do think it's fucked up that they didn't like tell her or say anything to her. But if she did watch the show, I think she would see that like, she was actually portrayed, I thought, very, very well and very sympathetic and very much as the victim of the whole situation, which she was.
Her whole life, like watching the documentary, felt very like sad. Like, she, you know, was a victim of abuse, rape, and like didn't really process it. And then like she was just like a naive girl who went and was just discovered and just asked to go straight into Playboy. And then but then she found that very empowering, which she talks about. Like, it was a way to, like, kind of get through all of her trauma because she sort of, like, took back her sexuality. And then because of that sex tape, it all was like ripped back from her, and she almost like felt like she lost it again. And then she was never taken seriously again. And it was just really, and then also like, but then the other sad part that I felt was like the way that she like talks about her relationship with Tommy. And she was like, I can't find another person because I just want to be with the father of my children, but I also can't be with Tommy.
Well, and it kind of showed how she has
really,
like a...
She is really fucked up.
Right. Like the relationship. They had a very toxic relationship, and she kind of like misses that a little bit.
But because her parents have extremely toxic, like way like, of showing
right.
love.
I didn't know he was like physically abusive to her, but so that was new information to me.
Yeah.
It's really...
He went to jail.
It's really interesting that like, had this sex tape been a few years later, it could have made her career rather than,
well, that's
like,
why
screwed her.
But people, that was addressed too, where she's like, people thought that we like planted it.
And they
didn't
make no money off of it. And they sued. And they said they couldn't go through with it because it was all like, they were like berating her. Like not Tommy. They were all like they basically said like, you don't have any right to privacy because you pose nude. And she said like, oh, well, I choose to pose nude, but she can't possibly, because during that time also that what they were saying was that like it was the beginning of the internet and it went like viral, the first thing that went viral. And so you don't know how to like deal with that kind of thing.
Right. There was no person who had like taken the brunt of the internet, but also there wasn't as much like access to commenting. Let's say like that just like led the nightly news then and like led Access Hollywood or whatever. But it just would have been a totally different story if it happened a few years later. And I don't know, she sounds like a really, I gotta watch this.
She seems like a good mom. Her sons really seem to like her.
Yeah, it's a little,
you know what's interesting
together.
Is that she seems
it's a little like
she has
obsessed-y.
With her and each other.
Yeah, with her and the sons.
It seems like she just had a very sad life that was out of her control in a lot of ways. Because, like, basically what I'm hearing is that, like, this fucking contractor, her whole life, we might not even know her name. If like this thing didn't happen,
no, that's not
Tommy
true.
Was an asshole like to the contractor.
She was like the Baywatch.
She was that was before.
Yeah, but we might not be even talking about
I feel
her
like
at
she's
this
more
point.
Famous for Baywatch. No,
yeah,
no, but she stayed famous because of who else was
right.
on Baywatch?
Unless
who
again, there's no way about? To know if this thing didn't happen, could she have had like a big career that was? And that's another thing that
she
said, which I thought was very self-aware and very interesting. Is she's like, I was never really like good at like using brand at like brand like. Branding myself to make money. Like and she kind of implies that she like has no money. And that she was like, I was never like good at thinking about my brand of myself in that way to like leverage it to make any money.
Yeah.
Cause she was like an act, she was in movies and she was in like this show. And I think, but that's what I'm saying. I wonder if the sex tape didn't happen, if she would be less famous than she is now, or if she would be more famous for maybe like other projects that she was given.
I have a feeling she would be less famous because I think that like her name wouldn't be just like a name everybody knows. Like
she
just kind of be
caricature.
One of the, right. But I think people wouldn't necessarily know her name. It would just be like, oh, your mom remembers this person who was on Baywatch.
I don't know if that's true.
But I'm just saying that because she said she wasn't good.
Big marriages.
Yeah, but she wasn't good at, right. But how long are you going to talk about someone?
The Kid Rock marriage. No one talks about Tommy Lee anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's only because
I didn't really know who Tommy
of
Lee
her
was
sex tape
without
that people are.
Her. Yeah.
And we were like a little too old, young for Baywatch to like really be something
and
we only cared about.
The famous marriages were really like Tommy Lee and then Kid Rock, who again, I don't really like think about.
He's like
anymore.
A conservative hero. So I don't think like
is he? Okay.
Yeah, it's like a thing. Yeah.
Well, before he was, he had some good.
She's also
pets.
Really weirdly into like Julian Assange.
Oh yeah,
it's like a big thing for her.
She okay. To your point about like why she wasn't good at branding
just like a
herself.
Random thing for her to be she's like very interesting.
That's why I feel like she. That's why I feel like she probably wouldn't be very famous, but she might have more money. Possibly.
That's
she
that's
just seemed
true.
Like not at all, like savvy.
The other thing
right.
is that,
she
well,
says that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that because she couldn't do her own brand, she got branded by other people. Like,
exactly.
There's a reason that it took like 20 something
she couldn't
years.
Couldn't control her own narrative at all.
But right, exactly. Like 30 years later, it's still just about the sex tape. Like if she
well,
could
no,
control
well,
her own,
she
brand,
was almost not manipulative enough.
That's what I'm.
I think.
Right. I mean.
But now though, her sons found? Are helping her, and so they did this documentary. She's in Chicago as the lead.
It was a nice little happy ending.
It was really cute. There's a little bow. Yeah,
I didn't know she was in Chicago.
She
replaced
Sarah Jane.
I think so. Yeah, it was sweet. It was a sweet thing, but it was a little bit sad.
It is. because like watching this was a woman. I see her as like a woman whose like life was essentially like several decades of her life were co-opted by away from her.
It was so gross to watch like the old footage of like all the talk shows. Yeah. Of like the way that they like interview. I've like seen all that stuff before. Yeah, like to her and like how, but she was not bad. She was good at responding, but she's also like funny. Like it was sweet.
She probably knew she had to be. That's like the idea that like a woman was going to stand up to that and be like, stop being misogynist to me. Like right, that's at that not, time. Yeah.
The crazy. Well, no, there was one where she was like, I don't know who was it? Jay Leno. One of them was like, something about the sex tape or something about something. And she was like, actually, that was hurtful. And he was like, oh, wait, actually? She's like, yeah, it was hurtful. And she did like stand up to them and like it took like more of a serious.
Right. But she route, was saying, but, yeah. Right. She was saying it in a more like, in a like she's lying. Stop. Like that's, but like not angry. Like it was like a.
Like Dakota no, to Ellen.
Like that was actually really upsetting.
Yeah.
Kind yeah.
Of thing. You
yeah.
know that's not true, Ellen.
The right. crazy part also though is this, the documentary starts off where she has a new husband that she just met. And then at the end of the documentary, she's already divorced him.
Oh, that's funny.
I think she probably has trouble in relationships.
No, she does. I mean, she does. I mean, that's the whole point. She seems like she was just like abused
continuously.
So she says now that she's done with Ben getting married.
She said the best way to get married is to tell someone you will never marry them.
And mean it.
She read the rules.
And it's almost like, but it's almost like, yeah, but then like, why would you want to marry them if right. you never wanted to marry them to the first place?
I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't. I hope I wouldn't. She doesn't come out with a dating book.
It was an interesting watch. Yeah.
I'm going to watch it. Watch them both.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Should we revisit our queen, Nicola Peltz?
Yeah, our queen. Yeah, Sammy, what happened?
There was some drama, I think, in the course of a lawsuit text that she had sent to one of her second wedding planner. She had there were three wedding planners that they relate. Went through. The Peltzes went through, Peltz Beckhams went through three wedding planners. And then basically the second one, who they hired 6 weeks before the wedding because the previous wedding planner, who was Preston Bailey, said he couldn't handle it, which is surprising because it's Preston Bailey. They go and find he was on like Gossip Girl. He's like the number one party planner.
Okay.
Does he play, yeah. plan parties for Gossip Girl? Like, what is
he? No, he played himself. No, like, he played himself as a party planner on Gossip Girl. Okay. That's how big he is.
He's like the father of the bride guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, except that, like that in plans real
Pandora
life.
Pandora Vanderpumps.
Yeah. No, the father of the guy, Preston Bailey is way more famous Beverly than Hill. The guy who planned.
What was his name?
Who?
Bronk or something?
No, that's in Father of the Bride.
That's in Father of the Bride.
He was, either way, Preston Bailey is like a way more famous okay. wedding planner okay. than the one who did Pandora's. Okay, so he says he can't do it. I don't know why. And then 6 weeks before, they find a new pair of wedding planners. I don't need to say their name and blow up their spot, but they had their wedding, obviously. They tried to replace the first planner, Preston Bailey, with this team of two women. Mm-hmm. But apparently they were just like not cut out for the gig.
Yeah, but they did give a deposit.
Nelson Peltz yes. gave a deposit.
Over $150,000.
$159,000. Yeah.
Steep.
I could figure it out for that price.
Think, that's how much a fucking could, wedding costs.
Well, I could figure, I mean, like I'm saying, I have no.
No, Jordan, no, I don't think you
could. I think I could figure yeah. it out.
No, if you forgot the deposit.
To, you forgot to book the DJ. After my wedding for the.
But that was I was younger then.
Okay, but I don't think you could.
I would make it work for $150,000 deposit.
I kind of don't think, I think you'd quit.
Yeah.
I don't
well,
think I
apparently well, these two did so, quit, right?
So, well, what happened is they worked together for I think it was like a few weeks, and this was 6 weeks before the wedding, so they had like maybe like 2 weeks together. They were immediately unable to handle it, and basically like they. So Nelson Peltz sues them because they won't give his deposit back, even though they didn't end up doing the wedding. And in the course of the lawsuit, texts between Nicola to them. And them came out. And
no, they didn't come out. He supplied them as like yeah. proof.
Right. Well, they came out to the public.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Right. as a result. And they, right, because he supplied them as the proof that these women weren't, like, doing a good job.
Yeah.
And if you read the text, she is definitely, like, kind of being a little rude, but they were definitely wrong also.
Yeah, I mean, I think he deserves the money back. Not that he needs it, but, like, yeah. I don't
think.
It's
a dickish lawsuit, but it's not, like,
it's
wrong.
Valid. I think.
Yeah, like, it's not they didn't do the wedding. They didn't do the wedding. And also, they backed out because they said that they couldn't handle the celebrity status and all eyes on this wedding and how large it was going to be. But, like, you knew that going in. Like, you knew who was getting married. So, right. Like, why would you take it if you can't handle it?
Well, I think they probably
didn't realize. And if you can't handle it, give the money back.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? That would be like the immediate obvious thing to me. Why wouldn't it be obvious
unless
that you would give the money back?
We worked on it for like a few weeks.
Unless something else happened where they felt like they were wronged and they had to keep it, then maybe. Like, this is just the beginning of unearthing some other thing that shady stuff that happened. But the texts that Nicholas sent.
We can follow this wedding lawsuit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's Amber Heard and Johnny Depp on this podcast.
Yeah, because, I mean, it could say something about, like, the tension between maybe, like, Nikki and Vicky at the wedding. Like, maybe there was a lot more drama. Nikki and Vicky weren't. Vicky wasn't at the wedding.
The planners.
No. I meant Victoria Beckham and Nicola. Nicola.
Bad for these women's careers if they don't, I think, this lawsuit not break them. I wouldn't hire them. Because I can't afford them. But also,
well, here's the thing. I actually don't think it's going to screw their careers over because, like, they worked with her for so little time. I don't think they're, like, going to be blacklisted from, like, all wedding planning. Although their text did not seem like the most competent. It definitely seemed like they. So there was the text that we saw was, like, about an RSVP list. There was some sort of, like, app, I assume.
A virtual guest list
where, like, the people were RSVPing. Apparently, Nicola noticed that there was a name of someone who hadn't RSVP'd who they had as RSVPing, yes. And she, like, freaked out. And she was like, they are not coming. They have not even RSVP'd. But then the wedding planner's text back was, like, so fucking boomery. And I wanted to be like, this is why.
It was
like,
just like, I just want to get it right for you. Like, something like
but
that.
But it was also like, I'm not good at this app. It's like, why would you say that?
Yeah, $150,000 deposit. Figure it out.
And then right. Nicola on the response was like, okay, but you still haven't explained why they RSVP'd. And
because she was saying, like, I pulled the wrong list. I'm assuming she pulled a list of, like, everyone invited. I don't fucking know. I don't know what this app is. But then there was also a piece where once the woman did, like, send the right guest list or something, she said, like, I'm going to go have a tequila after this or something. And Nicola wrote back, like, yes, queen. And then Nelson, like, accused them in the lawsuit of, like, drinking or something.
Having a drinking problem. I thought that was really, really far-fetched.
Here's the thing. It's really not
it's very
professional.
Very Logan Roy of him.
Not professional. Remember my whole thing with the realtor? Like, and the.
Yeah.
It's like, it just feels a little unprofessional to be like, oh, I'm like, fuck up this list. And
she did a great job. Yes. And she was drinking and she did a great job.
Yes, that's
whatever.
What I'm saying.
It's also a problem when it's a problem.
It's also one thing to say, like, oh, we can't wait to have a drink together once the wedding is over versus, like, your wedding is such a shit show. I need to have a tequila right now.
Right,
And you're just like, okay.
It's just, right.
Can you plan it?
Like, it just doesn't feel professional. Not that there's anything wrong with, like, this woman drinking. Like,
no.
It's more just, like, the lack of professionalism in the text messages.
Right.
About
And we also know there's so many more texts. We know that there's so many more texts. Where's the fire text? Where's the end of the relationship text? Where are the other texts? And we know that they are probably way worse. And these are just the ones that they felt were good enough to submit. So I'm sure that they're going to come back and submit some other texts.
Here's the thing. It was definitely rude, but we don't know, like, where in the relationship these texts fell. Yeah. Like, I'm sure this wasn't her first text to the planners.
Yes.
It was like, once she's getting annoyed and she said, like, I'm tired of fixing your mistakes. So she had, like, gotten, I'm tired of noticing your mistakes. So they had obviously made some already.
I mean, I would love to read, like, someone so much money.
I agree. They should have a lot of attention to detail.
This is probably the biggest wedding they had ever done or gotten.
They probably were like, this is going to be a great jump off for our career.
Yeah.
And they just were in over their heads. I get it, but
take some responsibility.
Give back the deposit.
Give back
the money. If you can be charging, let's say a deposit is 50%. If you think you can charge like $35,000 to $100,000 for your services,
right?
Then I think you can, like, just be professional.
You should make sure it runs smoothly.
Couldn't handle guest list, which was 500 people.
That's not that crazy.
I've been to, like, a Long Island, like, wedding.
Yeah, it wasn't like 3,000 people. That was 500 it wasn't like people. Madison Square Garden event.
The point is that she didn't, I think it's like it just over, that. I have a feeling like over and over again, it's just like a lot of, you have to correct it's things that you thought. Also, she was coming in the middle. They were coming in the middle. They already had the vendors. So it's like they were picking up something that preexisted. Right.
I just think if they quit, gotta it should hire be Gertie. Obvious.
You know what you want to know? Yeah, you got to Gertify this wedding. You know what I want to know? I want to know why Preston Bailey left. Because he's like one of the...
That's interesting.
That's the most interesting because he's one of the most respected. He clearly could handle this wedding.
That's why I'm saying there's something else that's like they're not telling us. There's something else between like the way in which the Peltzes handle their business.
Right. Because...
Yeah.
Because especially when you think about like this most... sought after wedding planner, arguably in the world, decided to walk away. Why would he walk away from this?
Unless it was something personal. But anyway.
Maybe. Guys, who are we sending to the Cayman Islands? So many people. There's a lot of people to send this.
So many people.
Oh my God. Should it
Tom Brady? No, he was fine.
No, he's fine.
He's had a bad week.
He's had a bad week.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
Tommy Lee? We can. Oh, it's the guy who stole the sex tape?
Oh, let's send the contractor.
Send the contractor.
I guess. It seems like he actually wound up making no money off of it.
You don't know that. That's only from the movie.
Well, you guys should watch the movie also.
No, but that's only from the show.
The show.
They don't actually know who stole it.
No, they do know who stole it. This guy stole it.
But who is this guy?
He's a contractor named Brand something, whatever his name is in the movie. That's
real?
It's real.
It's not fictionalized?
No, it's real.
How do you know?
I know, it's real.
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Chatbot, GPT.
This guy's like a real guy, like who's alive.
Who stole it. Yeah, but she just doesn't know. No one told her.
No, I think like she does not, she didn't like, it seems like she's almost like has like a, she wants to just like pretend it didn't happen to an extent.
Well,
so because like that's, I think why she was so bothered about this show, because it wasn't that the show was like a negative portrayal about her. The show I thought made her look better than anything I had seen about her in like, pop culture in a while. I hadn't seen anything about her.
Besides this documentary.
And that came after. Like, I thought the show was great for her personally. I get why she's like, it's not nice to make something about my life without even asking me. But I did hear that whoever the actor, I forgot what the, Lily something who played her, did write her a letter and she just didn't read it and ignored it. So I think she has a complex about it, rightfully so.
Yeah. But okay, well, so who are we sending?
I think we should send the contractor. And if you're saying he didn't make any money off of it, then it's good. He'll make money selling timeshares.
Yeah, I think we should send him. I think we should also send Tommy Lee because he seems like he's kind of an asshole too.
Sure.
But I think he's reformed.
They should have to go to the Caymans and
he's married to Brittany Ferlin.
So?
So. He's a reformed man.
That doesn't mean he's reformed.
You don't know that. I know that the contractor took the tape more than you know that Tommy Lee is reformed.
He's sober.
Okay. I still think we should send the contractor.
Fine. We'll send the contractor.
It's a violation of privacy.
I agree.
Maybe we should send the company that bought it and published it.
They're the ones
who they sued.
Well, it was like a few. It was kind of like it wasn't like that direct. It was like a few different. So basically, that guy, no one was doing their fiduciary duty
to their shareholders.
Well, basically, the guy, the contractor tried to sell it to like the big porn companies, and they were like, we're not selling this. That's illegal. No one has signed off on this videotape.
Yeah.
So then he guys kind of like works with this like mob guy to try to sell it to someplace. And then like the internet happens and he tries to release it on his own and put it behind a paywall. But then he's like an idiot. So he loses control of the whole thing. And someone else winds up like
so he's the one
taking it from him and releasing copies.
He tried really hard.
He didn't make any money off of it.
Well,
he didn't have Google Ads yet. He didn't know how to set up that blockchain or whatever.
I don't want to say he got his because you can't really like fully... like give someone back their life when you've done this to them, but he definitely did not like wind up with a lot of money and everyone kind of hates him.
That's his, well, now he can now go
and now he
Cayman
can go
Islands.
And sell timeshares in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
That's probably nice.
Who we're sending today.
All right.
I think you'd like
it.
The show. You should watch it.
I think I'm going to
finish watching. I only watched the first episode.
I'm going to watch both.
Love
I have so much
Stan.
Watch. Vengeance.
He's so good in it. I thought he was great in it. And so was she.
Yeah.
As Pam. And I'm sorry, Pamela Anderson, because I know she really hates this show and wishes it would disappear. And I'm telling everyone to watch it. But
it was already out.
I think she should watch it and she would realize that she might actually.
Maybe
like
people
it.
Will tell her to
I'm
after
sure
this documentary.
Someone has told her.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's it for this week's At Betches podcast.
I'm Jordana Abraham.
Oh, I forgot. I'm Eileen.
I'm at Jordana Abraham.
I'm Sammy, and please be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple or Spotify. We love reading your reviews. It really makes us so happy.
Makes our day.
So please leave us 5 stars and a nice review, and we will talk to you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, Rebecca Sosmakat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.